This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Candor and Treasury secretarial work do not always mesh. One reason the U.S. dollar has been swooning this week. I'm David Brancaccio in New York, first to Davos, Switzerland, where the hot ticket this time of year is for those who never travel in coach. Today, President Trump delivered a tight 15-minute speech at this World Economic Forum, where he made the pitch for America First, but not America alone, touted the performance of the U.S. economy during his first year, and made a call for reciprocal and fair trade.
The world is witnessing the resurgence of a strong and prosperous America. I'm here to deliver a simple message. There has never been a better time to hire, to build, to invest, and to grow in the United States.
Indeed, there's been celebrating at Davos that also the world economy is growing in so many regions at once as these delegates gather for this annual conference. Now, I brought in from Davos BBC reporter Joe Miller about one figure speaking something as a contrary view.
Jeff Staley, he's the CEO of Barclays, one of the biggest banks in the world. And actually, he was one of the few to puncture the bubble here. He said the optimism here is reminiscent of the last financial crisis or of the years preceding it, and warned that the level of debt out there in the capital markets. And others chimed in as well. Ken Rogoff, who's a Harvard economist, he said there really isn't even a plan A for central banks, he said, because, you know, fiscal stimulus and quantitative easing may have worked last time, but all of these tools have been spent. And he didn't know whether there would be any left.
But though in contrast to the general zeitgeist, where people are so upbeat.
Yeah, absolutely. It's sort of the few prophets of doom who've been trying to calm the euphoria, I suppose. But the message has been getting through. I'd say that the reports from the big companies and the politicians, people like that, for whom it serves them well to talk up global growth, you get one sound from them, and then you get another sound from those people who are actually on the trading floor, so to speak, saying, hey, all of this euphoria makes us a little bit uneasy. When everyone is growing together, when everyone says this is wonderful, that's when you really got to start to worry.
The BBC's Joe Miller on the line from Davos, Switzerland. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Another story from that conference this week has prompted the U.S. dollar to fall, something that makes U.S. exports easier to sell overseas, has the effect of boosting overseas profits, even as it makes foreign products more expensive in the U.S. For more on what happened to the dollar this week, let's turn to Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Hi, Chris.
Good morning, David.
How weird is it that the sitting Treasury Secretary of the United States would offer a view on the dollar? What he said earlier this week was, obviously, a weaker dollar is good for us. Now, that's true.
But, yeah, you know, it's been sort of standard procedure that the Treasury Secretary does offer a view on the dollar. But the view that's offered is always, it's the U.S. official position that we favor a stronger dollar. And that's it. That's all you say, whether you mean it or not. The last Treasury Secretary who deviated from that, Paul O'Neill, he got into tremendous trouble. So my sense is that cooler heads would have stuck to the party line and left it at that.
President of the United States had to come in and clean this up a little bit. He says, number one, I don't like talking about the dollar because, frankly, nobody should be talking about it. But the dollar keeps drifting lower here. It's still pretty weak.
And I suspect it's probably going to weaken further. And the reason is not necessarily because Secretary Mnuchin will knock it down again, but because the other side of the pair trades, right? So, for example, if you look at the dollar-euro exchange rate, one of the reasons the dollar is weakening is that the European Central Bank is expected at the end of this year to stop its quantitative easing program. And of course, the European economy is much stronger than it was a year ago. Same thing is going on in Japan. So if yen is going to go up, if euro is going to go up, it's hard to imagine how the dollar can go up too. And I suspect that might have been Mnuchin's motive. He did begin his comment, after all, by saying that the dollar's direction is market determined. We don't interfere with the currency markets in the U.S.
Chris Lowe at FTN Financial, thank you.
You're welcome, David.
News today that the U.S. economy was growing at a bit slower rate at the end of 2017 compared to the spring and summer. Gross domestic product October to December grew at an annual rate of 2.6%, meaning it was up 2.3% for all of last year. Some of the performance is due to consumers out there spending. We also learned today that orders for durable goods, expensive, long-lasting things, last month grew at a very strong 2.9%. As Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports, manufacturing has been gaining ground.
Durable goods are manufactured products designed to last at least 3 years. Think refrigerators, machine tools, or pickup trucks. Michael Montgomery at IHS Market says orders for many manufacturers have been trending up recently.
Each month they've been taking in more orders than they've been actually delivering in product. So the backlog's growing and the order's strong and the demand good means a very good start to 2018.
Manufacturers struggled coming out of the Great Recession, but now conditions for a rebound are in place, including strong global growth and a weak dollar that makes U.S. exports cheaper abroad. Michael Pierce at Capital Economics says with unemployment down near 4%, it's getting harder for employers to find qualified workers.
So that has really been driving greater equipment investment.
Equipment like automation tools and robots to make factories and workers more efficient. Good news for the companies that make that stuff as well. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.